John chapter number 13. We'll not read all of the scripture, but because most of you have either been here last Sunday morning or this Sunday morning, this morning about, and as we read the scripture, as Jesus can reveal to his disciples that he was departing, that his time was soon to be at hand. Verse 33, little children of chapter 13, little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let's pray. Father, I pray now that you will bless the reading of your precious word. Lord, I pray that you will help us tonight. Give us strength. Lord, help us to have spiritual sensitivity. Lord, help us to have discernment. Lord, I pray that you will guide us into these moments in your word. Not only help me to preach, but help those before me to hear. And may we together be blessed and be helped of the Lord. Lord, have your will and way. I'm aware of the fact that God, there's folk in our midst probably, no doubt, in desperate need of a touch from thee today. Lord, I pray that you'll move upon their pew and upon their heart. And Lord, help me, our God, to preach like I wished I had when I see you face to face in the very near future. Your will be done above all things, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're dealing out of verse 36, as we've shared with you before, on the word now and the word afterwards. Now and afterwards. And I want to step into another level or another point of delivery of this, what is looked to be a series of messages, or at least a multiple part message. We noticed this morning the remedy of faith, as chapter 14 and verse 1. I believe personally that Jesus revealed the real bottom line problem as to why Peter was responding the way he responded in the previous verses. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You believe in God, as we mentioned this morning, is a statement. But a believe also in me was a request or a demand, as if to say you're not doing it. You're claiming that you're believing God, but you're not believing me. You're not having that confidence and that reliance upon me. And we dealt this morning the fact that that faith, if you believe in Christ, you believe what he says, you believe what he's done, and you believe what he's going to do. And I tell you, I've seen folk this week struggling at the altar, and when I would deal with them, or some others would deal with them, they say, preacher, I just can't believe that he would save me. I said, well, he said he would. I said, either he's joking, or he's lying, or he's telling the truth. And they'll sit right there and say, I know he can't lie. I know he means what he says, but just seem like no faith in their heart to believe. And faith is what will stabilize you. Faith is what stabilizes us, because faith keeps us from living off of feelings. Faith is what keeps us from living off of what we see or what we hear and the changing of things in our life. And we all know that change comes and goes in our life. We know that. Our world is constantly changing. Our nation is constantly changing. Churches is constantly changing. Some of them for the worse instead of for the better. Amen. But faith is that which will stabilize you. Faith is always connected to the Word of God. You can't have faith and doubt God's Word. And a good point on that is Brother Silas already has shared with us tonight in John 6. When Jesus delivered the hard sayings and the multitude that He had just fed with the loaves and the fishes, that thousands of them turned and walked away when Jesus preached one message. He preached one message, and that crowd loved the way that He fed them, but they did not like the way He was going to lead them. And that's about what we've got today, is a lot of people they like His feeding, but they don't like His leading. That's about the truth. And Jesus was saying, you know, if you follow Me, you know, you're going to have to eat My flesh and drink My blood. And you know, and I mean, He laid it down tight and laid it down straight. And I mean, the whole crowd left with a full stomach. I mean, they probably hadn't even got through wiping off the hush puppy crumbs off of their mouth. And now they're done turning on Christ. You know why? They weren't following Christ out of faith. They were following Christ for a miracle. And a lot of people today, that's what they're interested in. They're not interested in a master. They're interested in a meal. They're interested in a miracle. They're not interested in a master to govern their lives. And when He told them that message and they all left, Jesus turned to the disciples, the handful that was left, and He asked them the question, will ye not also go away? And Peter, for one of the very few times, he opened his mouth and said something right. Amen. I'm so much like Him, it's pitiful. Amen. But he did say something right that time. He said to the Lord, to whom shall we go? And I like this statement right here. He said, because Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter said, Lord, we're not interested in leaving because of the words that come out of Your mouth. They stabilize us. They're keeping me from wobbling on the shaft, the words that come out of Your mouth. And all we find in this passage of Scripture, Jesus giving forth the Word, and the very one that uttered that other statement is now can't get what Jesus is saying. But we talked about the remedy of faith. Faith is the remedy for a lot of problems in my life and in our church and in our nation. We found this morning that it's the remedy for division. We found that it's the remedy for distractions. We found that it was the remedy for us display or having a bad display to the world. Out of chapter 13 and verse 35. We also found that it was a remedy for denial in verse 37 and 38. And we found in chapter 14 in verse 1 that it's a remedy for disturbance or a troubled heart. But I want to move on to a second truth tonight. And I'm talking about life goes on. Peter was so consumed with now that when Jesus said, but thou shalt follow Me afterwards, that didn't seem to register with him. That didn't seem to mean much with him. But I want to move on to a second point in this message. And not only the remedy of faith, but I want to talk about in chapter 14 and verse 1, the reliance of faith. The responsibility of faith. The responsibility that's attached with our faith. Notice the very first two words in verse 1. Let not. Do you see that? Let not your heart be troubled. If God says let not, then that means you can permit it or not permit it. And when he said let not your heart be troubled, he's saying you can say no to the agitation. Amen. Faith is a responsible word. Faith gives you choices to make. Faith gives you a choice to say, I'm not going to let this bother me. I'm going to dismiss this. I'm going to put this in the hands of the Lord, and I'm going to be helped of the Lord. The responsibility of faith. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Notice this right here when he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know what all of that's in? That's all in the present tense. Right now, let not your heart be troubled. But Lord, you don't understand what's going on in my life. I've got unwanted news. I got unwelcome circumstances in my life. I'm in a storm that I didn't cause. I'm just in it. I'm having to deal with it. And Lord, you don't know what's going on in my life. But oh, God's people are not just like another person down the street. God's people are attached by faith to the resources of God, that you can have peace in your heart even in the midst of troubled times. The responsibility of faith. It's not only in the present tense, but it's in the imperative mood. In other words, we know of something being imperative that it's essential and that it's necessary. Amen? That it's crucial. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. You know, the cure to a troubled heart is faith. Usually when I have a heart spiritually that's agitated or aggravated, it's because I'm going off of something I'm seeing, hearing, feeling, thinking, instead of faith. Amen. When problems knock at the door, you have the responsibility of choice to either send feelings to the door or to send faith to the door. And boy, when you send feelings to the door, it's usually downhill from there, isn't it? I'm telling you, boy, when emotions get in the driver's seat, have we not all seen how quickly that our spiritual life declines when emotions gets in the driver's seat? Have we not noticed that? Lord, I've noticed it in my own heart, in my own life, but I just wanted to point out simply the responsibility of faith. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it happen. Stop it right now is what the implication is. The word trouble means to stir, to agitate, an inward commotion, to have your calmness of mind taken away, to make restless. Boy, God's people can get there. I'm talking about born again, blood washed, heaven bound, saved, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You and I can get there when we have a troubled heart. Heart agitated, have inner commotion, unsettled, amen, no calmness of mind, restless, agitated. We can get there. Yes, God's people can. Amen. But I just wanted to point out the responsibility of faith. But then I want to share last tonight, but I don't let that say we're about done. I want to get on this one and spend the rest of the time briefly tonight as the Lord will help us. I want to talk about the reliance of faith. The reliance of faith, or if you want to put a second thought with that, not just the reliance of faith. I tried to separate them because I could see two lines of thought, but then they'd run together. I couldn't go far with it till they'd start running together, so I'm going to put them together. So I see the reliance or the reality of faith. Well, this will help us if we can get it. Notice he says in verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. You know what he was saying? There needs to be a reliance of faith. He said, preacher, I thought you was preaching on life goes on. I thought you was preaching on after this and afterwards and it came to pass. And I thought you was preaching on after these things and so on. That's what that's saying. That we're going on. We're not stuck in the now or in the this, but we're going on. We're in the after effects of a lot of things in our past already. We're going on. God's people are not quitters. We're going on. But there is the reliance of faith. But not only faith is that which promotes reliance upon things and upon God, but it brings about the reality of God. So you won't rely upon God if He's not real to you. Right. Now listen to me. I believe the Lord wants to help us right here. When He's making this admonition in verse 1, you believe in God, believe also in me. He's saying in that passage, you can rely upon me. So the first thing that we can rely upon in this passage, or faith makes real to us, is number 1, a person. Why should I not have a troubled heart in my now? As I face these things, as I face the hard times, as I go through these things, how can I keep from having a troubled heart? It's because the alternative to a troubled heart is that I have a real Savior that I can rely upon. Amen. Believe in God right now. Believe also in me. The word believe means to entrust, especially one's spiritual well-being. To entrust your spiritual well-being to Christ. Sitting before me, and I'll get it in a minute, are folk that have trusted Christ with your eternity. Not everybody in here is saved tonight, but I'm talking faith. When you got saved, you put your eternal destiny in the hands of another. And have entrusted him with that. But here's the thing that bothers me. And I'm preaching to me too. Is that I can trust him with my eternal destiny. But have problems trusting him in valleys, battles, burdens, difficulties. Amen. Fear is a sign that you're not trusting. Worry is a sign you're not trusting. Panic is a sign we're not trusting. Amen. Oh, there is the reliance of faith. That's how come we can go on and it can be said of us it came to pass. It's because faith relies upon a person, the Lord Jesus. People will let you down. We all know that. You'll even let yourself down. Has anybody in here ever failed yourself? Anybody in here wanted to kick yourself? I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I done that again. I've done that before and know the effects of it, and here I've done it again. I can't believe that. I can't believe that I gave up spiritual ground. Oh, I've been so mad at myself that if I could have done it, I'd just pinch my head off like that right there. Flipped it off in the ditch. But I've never been disappointed in Him. I've never been disappointed in Him. But the point is being made in chapter 14 in verse 1 and the context of it is that God not only can take care of your destiny, God can take care of your difficulties. Or as verse 1 talks about a troubled heart, not only would He take care of your destiny, but He can take care of your disturbance. Amen. I was preaching in the meeting Friday night and I was using the woman with the issue of blood as our text thought and how that the woman with the issue of the blood, she tried to get her situation fixed two ways. One, by much spending, and two, by many physicians. And I said the many physicians no doubt involved the pharmaceutical industry. Not just going and seeing a doctor, but also getting prescriptions And I made the statement, I said, there's no doubt about it. There's folk that need certain assistance in the medical field. But I said, there's a lot of people, my friend, that are on things that don't necessarily need to be on them because they're trying to find some kind of a help to deal with a troubled heart. Amen. I mean, the pharmaceutical industry is a multi-billion dollar a year industry. People, I mean, everywhere you look, people's on nerve pills and pain pills. And a lot of them are not in pain. A lot of them are not in pain. Amen? I mean, that's right. I've talked to them. I've dealt with them. I've counseled with them. They think because it's a prescription that it's okay. I didn't go on the street corner and I didn't get it through the black market or whatever you would call it, Brother Bob. And they think because old Dr. Doodle Digger wrote it out and I got to go to a pharmacy store and get it, it's okay. No, if you don't need it, it's not okay. And if you're getting it to try to deal with a heart that's not right with God and a mind that's not settled with God, you are not doing right. Amen. Now don't go out here and preach what I didn't preach now. Because this is on tape. I didn't say that you just throw your medicine out the window. I'm dealing with those that don't need it. Amen. Got one little old issue right here and you take something that's got 1,400 side effects and one of them's death. And you'll take it anyhow. Well, it might kill me, but I'm going to take it anyhow. It might destroy my kidneys, my liver, gallbladder, and everything in between, but I'm going to take it anyhow because it makes me feel better. God help. I'm going to get off that. But I'm talking about reliance in a person. Reliance upon a person. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Reliance upon a person. Faith makes... Not only you trust, you say, preach, I've never seen him. That's where that reality point comes in. Are with that one. Faith makes him real to you. And you can't love him if he's not real to you. We read the verse this morning in 1 Peter 5, whom having not chapter 5, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 8, and whom having not seen, you love. Though you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hey, I've never seen him, but I sure love him. I've never seen him, and you hadn't either, but I want to tell you, he's real. He's real to me. He's just as real to me as you are sitting before me tonight. Oh, he's real to me because he's talked with me. He's real to me because he's consoled me and comforted me. He's corrected me. He's real to me. Well, I seen this actually right before I started reading the scripture. The Lord brought this to my attention. I'm gonna not knock Peter in the head and say, Peter, I can't believe you're acting the way you're acting in these verses. I've been giving Peter a hard time. But the Lord showed me something, Brother Barry, right before I read the scripture, just brought it to my mind. And I said, oh, Lord, please don't let me forget to deal with that if I can remember it. You know what really was in the heart of Peter? He just wanted to be around Jesus. I mean, when Jesus said, hey, fellas, I'm leaving. My time's come, I'm going. And it tore Peter's nerves up, you know? Peter just had an attachment to the Lord. And he just liked going everywhere with him. And he just liked being with him and hearing him. And he just liked having him around. And I want to tell you, I do too. Amen. Oh, no wonder Peter got disturbed when he was told that the Lord was going to be leaving him and that he couldn't come. I think we ought to be bothered by a lack of desire of wanting to be around Jesus. A lot of folk today claim to be saved and they have no desire to talk to Him. They have no desire for Him to talk to them. They have no desire to read His Word. They have no desire to pray. They have very little desire to go to the house of God. They have very little desire to go to Sunday school. They have very little desire to have a personal relationship with the Lord. I said, oh Lord, I don't want to be down on Peter in this passage. He just wanted to be around you. He just loved being around you. And I thought, Lord, do we really love being around Him? Do we really enjoy the presence of the Lord? I mean, let's just look at it from a human perspective for a second. And ask the question, does it bother you when you can go a day or two without the presence of the Lord? Does it bother you? Does it bother me that I can go a period of time without hearing His voice? Does it bother you or does it bother me to sit in a service or a couple of services and not feel the presence of God? Does that bother us? Peter was bothered by the news that Jesus was going to go away. That's something good to think about, isn't it? But what faith does, faith relies upon a person. Number two, you ready? Not only in verse 1 do we find the reliance of faith upon a person, or the reality of faith upon a person. But number 2, verse 2, is there is the reliance upon a place, or the reality of a place. Faith, oh, this is good. Faith makes heaven real now. Think about this. Verse 2, Jesus is addressing Peter in his now, being, you know, what was going on in his life now. Jesus reached out with one hand and got heaven in his hand, and reached back and got Peter and his troubled, agitated heart, and sought to bring them together. As if to say, Peter, let me help your heavy heart with thoughts of heaven. Oh, glory to God. Heaven still helps heavy hearts. Amen. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Oh, he's reminding Peter that there is a place. And it's out of this world. It's out of this world, Peter, the place that you're going to. You're in your now, but afterwards we're going to a place that's out of this world. We're going to a place, amen, that's called the Father's house. And at the Father's house are many mansions. Well, don't you know that blessed Peter? Don't you know that encouraged him? As Peter, all he was focusing on was the now and the sad news and being upset and being troubled in his heart and all of that. Don't you know that was good news, Brother Bill, for God to tell him, hey, Peter, it's not always going to be like this. Peter, you're not always going to live here. This is not your permanent residence. There's a home on high. Amen. I'd sing it if my voice would hold up, but I've sung it at the rest home a number of times about my real home. My real home is on high. Oh yes, I've seen them folk out the rest home get happy when they realize again that that home out there is not their residence. It's just a temporary dwelling. There's coming a day that they'll leave behind the wheelchairs and the beds and the IVs and all of that, and will take flight. Those that have been born again will take flights to worlds unknown to be at the Father's house. Oh yes. There is the reliance and the reality of faith upon a person and also a place. What was it Peter was wanting to do? You know what was really in Peter's heart? Lord, let me go with you. Y'all see where I'm going, don't you? Lord, I want to go with you. And he just kept on asking that question. Lord, I want to go with you. And again, he even said in verse 37, and he said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee? Lord, you're saying you're going and I can't go, and that upsets me. You're going somewhere and I can't go now, but afterwards, afterwards I'll be able to come. But oh, watch this. Lord, why can't I follow thee now? Lord, I want to go with you. Boy, this what I'm preaching right here meant a lot to somebody like Peter when he really wanted to be with the Lord. Because when Jesus said in verse 3, look at it, of chapter 14, if I go and prepare a place, he said, and if I go, and the word if is the same word as since I go, it's a fact, it's not questionable that he's went. It's a fact that he's went. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Wait a minute. The last thing that struck Peter's heart with a sad note was, I'm leaving. Now he's getting the word, I'm coming back. I will come again. Watch this. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Peter, there's another house we're going to one day. That won't mean much to you if you like it here. That won't mean much to you if you like this world, and most people go to church do. And I don't want you to get the impression that I'm not enjoying life. I enjoy life. I enjoy life as being a Christian, and I don't have to drink and cuss and smoke dope, and I don't have to go to the party and dance hall. I don't have to do none of that to enjoy life. Amen. I won't say that again. I don't have to do none of that. I've not done none of that in 30 years. And I'm having a time of my life. Amen. Yeah. Hey, several right here can testify that you've tried this and done that and all this other stuff. But I'm telling you, being saved has brought the greater joy. Being saved has brought the greater peace. Amen. Amen. I thought about Brother James back there waving his hand about to have a spell in the sound room, how that he used to be what he was and be involved in what he was involved in. And now, what, 10 years? 11 years been saved? Amen. Hadn't went back to none of that junk. Amen. Hey, I hadn't needed no more of that stuff. And he's told me at times, he said, preach, it's wonderful not having to look over your shoulder to see if Bob Moffitt's are coming. Except he didn't mention Brother Bob. He just said, see if the cops is after you. Amen. Oh, I'm talking about a reliance and a reality of faith upon a person and in a place. And I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. Now I'm about to get to the point where I've got more, Brother Carroll, as far as my family and relatives. I've about got more over yonder than I've got here. Amen. But I'm heading that way. Thank God I'm heading that way. I'm not climbing up the rough side of the mountain and the angels are not holding up the ladder I'm climbing on. I'm heaven bound because Jesus paid the ransom. Jesus paid the sin debt, Brother Stallard. And my Father's house is up ahead. But the point is, faith makes that real to you. You know why a lot of people in church lives for the now? Is because that's what's real to them. What you can see is real to you. But faith has eyes. Faith has eyes. Hebrews chapter 11, Moses saw him who was invisible. Amen. Faith allows you to see what cannot be seen with these eyes. Amen. Faith makes the unseen things real to us. Well, there's all kinds of illustrations of that. I thought about Elisha and his servant. When he went out there in 2 Kings, his servant got up and went out, and they were surrounded They were surrounded, they was completely surrounded by the enemy, and he went in to the man of God and he said, "And what shall we do?" And the man of God, he wasn't nervous, he wasn't tore up, he wasn't upset. He just said, "Lord," he bowed down and said, "Lord, open thou his eyes." And his eyes was open, and he went out and he looked, and the hills was absolutely filled, thank God, with chariots of fire and angels, and all of the army of God was around the tops of them hills. And he went back in and said, "There that be for us are more than they that be with them." And he, amen. You say, "Preacher, what made a difference?" His spiritual eyes was open, and he is able to see what the fleshly eyes couldn't see. Amen. Well, let me move on. Not only the reliance and the reality of faith in regards to a person, but also a place. Number three, verse number three, there is the reliance and the reality of a promise. Verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Hey, Peter, I know what's bothering you is because I'm leaving, but I want you to know that's not the end of the story. I am coming again. Hallelujah. Oh, that's the blessed hope of the believer, that Jesus is coming. Oh, Jesus is coming. We heard one of the most powerful messages you'll ever hear on that. And Brother Massengale preached on the Friday night of our revival on Jesus is coming. You used to preach on Jesus coming and sinners would get saved. They don't move them now. Used to, you could preach on Jesus is coming and God's people would be edified and exhorted and encouraged, amen, because they know that's their exit. That's their exodus out of this old sin-cursed world. But that don't even move many of God's people anymore. There is the reliance upon a promise. Notice verse 3. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you." You remember, Peter, I told you that afterwards you're going to follow me? He said, "I'm coming again, and I'm going to receive you unto myself." Peter, you're going to get to be with me again, and there'll never be no parting there. Peter, you're going to get to be with me when I come again and receive you unto myself. There'll never be another moment of separation ever throughout eternity between the Savior and His people. Oh, that's good. "Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there," I underscored them there a while ago, the where and the there. "Where I am, there you may be also." I'm glad there's a there that is a contrast to the here. I'm glad there's a different place and we have a promise. Jesus is coming. But here's the thing that I want to mention tonight that ought to help us. Jesus is not coming for everybody. If you take the Word of God, now listen to me. If you take the Word of God and you study it in context, not what preacher so-and-so said and what that church or this church says. If you take the Bible and lay it out in context, lay it out, my friend, and with correct interpretation, you will discover, friend, that there is no such teaching as a general judgment and a general resurrection. Are you listening? You'd have to throw away a lot of verses of Scripture to teach that. Amen. I mean, you've got real problems when you find verses where Jesus is coming back for His saints. And then you got verses that shows that He's coming back with His saints. How can you have a coming back for and a coming back with? And then you've got verses that deals with Jesus coming to the air and us being called out to meet Him in the air, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 reveals. And then you have verses of Scripture that shows Jesus coming back to the Mount of Olives and coming back to this earth. Right. Are you listening? Scriptural interpretation and accurate interpretation shows that the coming of the Lord is in two phases. There's the rapture. You say, I don't believe the rapture because rapture's not in the Bible. Well, the word Bible's not in the Bible, but we have a Bible. So I don't want to believe in the rapture. Well, don't believe in the rapture. Believe in the catching away. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about us being caught up. That's the word harpazo, which means to be harpooned out of here, thrust out of here. Amen. Amen. We're going to be taken out of here. God's people. You say, preacher, when Jesus comes, everybody's leaving. Well, if you get hold of that truth, if you hold of that, I said it's truth, but it ain't truth. If you hold of that belief, then you're going to have to hold true to what 1 Thessalonians says. And so shall we ever be at the Lord. All those that's caught up, the same text says, and so shall we ever, we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be at the Lord. If that's the case, then you've got lost people going to heaven. Forever. And that is not true. Thank God for the promise that Jesus Christ is coming. His coming is imminent, meaning without warning. Nothing has to happen. It could come right. He could come right now. He could come right now. His coming is imminent. His coming is could be soon. It could be sudden. But it's definitely coming. He's coming surely. He's coming. And His coming, this passage in John 14 is being used in the context of Him dealing with Peter as Peter was dealing with his now. And the burdens and the troubles that was coming in his heart in the now. But Jesus tried to help him with an afterwards. And chapter 14 reaches out and expresses and brings into view all of them afterwards. The remedy of faith. And then the responsibility of faith. Let not your heart be troubled. Engage your faith when fear comes along. Engage your faith when you need strength. Engage your faith, amen, into the Word of God. Find a promise and claim it. Engage your faith. You can't leave your faith in neutral and expect to climb the hills of life. You can't do that. Engage your faith. Put it in gear. Amen. So there's the remedy of faith. Then there's the responsibility of faith. Then there's the reliance and the reality of faith. And we'll look on else other things as the Lord leads us into this chapter. On life goes on. And because of your faith, life will go on. Some of you have already been through things that would have killed 20 other people. In fact, probably people look at your life and think, how are you still going on? You mean you're still going to church and you've been through all that you've been through and you're still going to church? Yeah, life goes on. Why? Because faith is driving us. Faith is my drive. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name and we ask you, Lord, to take dear Lord, the message tonight and the simplicity of it and the truth of it. And Lord, use it for your glory. Lord, help us to be like Peter in that we long to be around you and miss you when you're not around. And Lord, there's folk maybe sitting here tonight that claim to be saved and they seem to have very little desire to be in the presence of God. Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, help us to live by faith. Four times in the Scripture it said, the just shall live by faith. Lord, we're not living by explanation. We're not living by sight. We're not living by feelings. Dear Lord, we're living by faith. And faith entrusts you, entrusts our lives into your hands. And your hands are proven hands. Your hands are trustworthy hands. Lord, if we can trust you to take care of our destiny and our deliverance, surely we can trust you to take care of us in our difficulties. Lord, if we can trust you, Lord, with those things, surely we can trust you, dear God, to lead us. Lord, help us tonight, I pray, to commit, Lord, to your hands, Lord, what's bothering us. Lord, there maybe not everybody, but there may be some in the service tonight, their heart's troubled over whatever. Lord, they've been through this or they're going through that and their heart's troubled. And Lord, I know that it's easy to preach and many times hard to practice, but Lord, there's a deliverance and there's a freedom that comes when we, Lord, just take it out of our hands as Peter said, casting all of your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Lord, David said, bring thy burdens to the Lord. Cast thy burdens upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. For he shall never suffer the foot of the righteous to be moved. Lord, I pray you help the people of God tonight to learn to commit to your hands and entrust into your hands their cares. Lord, their problems, their issues, and let you have it. And Lord, it's so easy to come to an altar and to pray over an issue, but it's easy to get right up from the altar and reach down and pick up the burden and put it right back on our shoulder again. Lord, you're showing us in these verses how to deal with the now, how to deal with a troubled heart. And Lord, I just want to thank you, God, that you've made faith available and faith reliable. Lord, you said without faith it's impossible to please God. Lord, we couldn't get saved apart from faith. If faith works in salvation, then faith will work in other areas of our life. Have your will and your way in this invitational moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed, some in the altar praying.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.